From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with...
The Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is a good one. Listen to this. It says, if I had never met you, I wouldn't like you. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't miss you. But I did, I do, and I will. Man, just remember this, my friend. We're all prisoners of the time in which we live. Try to make life better. Even if just a little.
Oh, I like that.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, you better believe it.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, boy.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See, there you go. Oh, come on. Nobody's buying that. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1945, General Douglas MacArthur moved his general headquarters from Manila in the Philippines to Tokyo, which was one of the first real signs that World War II was indeed over. And it was on this day in 1960, Fidel Castro arrived in New York City as the head of the Cuban delegation to the United Nations. The UN Secretary General had to keep asking Castro to take his feet off his desk.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
I guess it's fair to ask the question now, how did we get here with two assassination attempts on Donald Trump? How did we get here? Well, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is just track back social media posts, news stories, and think back to Maxine Waters out there on that sidewalk in California that day, talking through the bullhorn about how you should harass Trump supporters. And this was back when Trump was still president. And she was talking about how make it known you don't want them here if you encounter people in restaurants and stores and in public. Get in their face. And she has never been held accountable for this crap. I think a lot of this started, too, with... That dreadful speech, one of the first speeches that Joe Biden gave after he was ordained president, where he had that dark blue and red background, the speech that he gave in Philadelphia. And right then and there, he declared war pretty much on MAGA, talking about how dangerous MAGA is. So it's very apparent that all the violent rhetoric is coming from the left, and yet they accuse the conservatives of engaging in violent rhetoric. Well, finally, somebody's thinking, there has been a full list of all the times Democrats incited violence against President Trump, and it was published on the We Love Trump report. It's published in other places, too. There will be ads from the Trump campaign. But a fellow by the name of Noah, who writes for We Love Trump, wrote, I'm about to show you case after case after case of Democrats making incredibly hateful and violent statements designed to incite violence against President Trump. If Republicans had said even half of these things, or just a regular American citizen, there's no doubt Merrick Garland would have already rounded them up and thrown them in prison to rot for decades, along with the J6 prisoners of war. That's another thing. The treatment of the J6 let's call them internees, because that's what they are. They've been interned in various jailhouses and prisons, and they have yet to have their due process. And then Noah says, but somehow it's just fine when Democrats do it. This is really sick. Let's start here. So he posted on X a little audio here from Democrat Representative Stacey Plaskett. And I'm trying to remember who she was talking to at the time, but she was on, MSNBC. Let's roll the audio here.
Trump not only have had the codes, but now having the classified information for Americans and being able to put that out and share it in his resort with anyone and everyone who comes through should be terrifying to all Americans, and he needs to be shot. Stopped.
Oops. He needs to be shot? Well, she said later on, it was just an accident. My bad. I didn't mean to say that. Well, you said it. It means the thought was there. So saying he needs to be shot, not a problem. No, not a problem at all. And by the way, if the Trump team really wants to be on their toes, they should be monitoring MSNBC constantly. Constantly. Because MSNBC has been very guilty of very inflammatory, yeah, almost violence-inciting rhetoric on the air. So here we have another one. Nick Sorter tweeted, just in, President Trump dropped a fire new ad showing the times leftists have used violent rhetoric against him, inspiring attempts on his life. This is damning. These people need to be investigated and even prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Well, here's audio from that that time that Kamala Harris was on Ellen DeGeneres' show. Listen to this. See if you remember this.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Yuck, 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 yuck. Does one of us have to come out alive? Then the audio clips here continue with Biden.
I wish I were debating him. No, I wish during high school I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I said, no, I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of them.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
That you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
President Walker, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
When they go low, we kick.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
And these are all leftists, okay? So in there, in the mix was Nancy Pelosi. You had Hillary Clinton in there. You had Madonna in there. And who's the crybaby Democrat guy? He was in there. But and I wish they hadn't had the music track there. It makes it harder to hear these people. But these are all evil, evil people. They really are. And the evil is within the left and the Democrat Party. Well, the Democrat Party is the left. And it's just absolutely heartbreaking to know that there's this level of hatred against Donald Trump. Hey, they were fine with Donald when they thought he was a Democrat. But once he crossed the street and went over to the Republican Party, well, all of a sudden now he's Orange Man Bad. He's Hitler. And they're not at all a bit restrained when it comes to their rhetoric. Again, I would recommend that someone within the Trump camp constantly monitor MSNBC. That network is the worst, and it amazes me that they're still allowed to do business. Then again, it's like I said yesterday, I am against any censorship. I'm against revocation of the First Amendment. Because without the First Amendment, then we will be a nation lost. We have to have the First Amendment if there's going to be any semblance of truth whatsoever. But it's clear that all of the damaging rhetoric, all the violence insulting rhetoric, inciting rhetoric, excuse me, is coming from the left. Now, here's a laundry list of stuff. Kamala Harris said repeatedly, Trump is a threat to our democracy and fundamental freedoms. She also said, it's on us to recognize the threat Trump poses. Another thing she said, does one of us have to come out alive? Ha ha ha. That was that clip from Ellen DeGeneres' show. The show that's no longer on air, by the way, because Ellen turned out to be such a god-awful person. behind the scenes. She was awful to her staff, awful to her employees, and she was drummed out of the business. Her career's washed up, thank God. Here are some things that Joe Biden has said. It's time to put Trump in a bullseye. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Trump is a threat to this nation. There's one existential threat. It's Donald Trump. Trump is a genuine threat to this nation. He's literally a threat to everything America stands for. Trump and MAGA Republicans are a threat to the very soul of this country. Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic, and that is a threat to this country. Those are all statements from Joe Biden. Here's one from Tim Walz. Are Republicans a threat to democracy? Yes. They're going to put people's lives in danger. Yes. Gwen Walz, his wife. Bye-bye, Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi. Trump is a threat to our democracy of the kind that we've not seen. Representative Jasmine Crockett. MAGA in general, they're threats to us domestically. Representative Dan Goldman. He's destructive to our democracy and has to be eliminated. Has to be eliminated. And disgraced Harris staffer, T.J. Ducklow, Trump is an existential, urgent threat to our democracy. Tom Harris surrogate Liz Cheney, Trump presents a fundamental threat to this republic, and we're seeing it on a daily basis. Here's one from Steve Cohen, who's a representative. Trump is an enemy of the United States. Maxine Waters, Mad Max. Are Trump supporters preparing a civil war against us? Another thing she said here. I want to know about all those right-wing organizations that Trump is connected with who are training up in the hills somewhere. You know, she's somebody who should be locked away in a rubber room someplace. Remember years ago, she was delivering some testimony in a panel somewhere there on Capitol Hill. And she threatened an oil company CEO, we'll socialize. We'll socialize. We'll nationalize your business. And she had no authorization to say that. She's an idiot. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, remember her? The girl who can't seem to wash her hair? Trump is an existential threat to our democracy. Adam Schiff, Trump is the greatest threat to our democracy. Gregory Meeks, Trump cannot be president again. He's an existential threat to democracy. And then Dan Goldman again. Trump remains the greatest threat to our democracy. Representative Jake Auchincloss. What unifies us as a party is knowing that Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy. Abigail Spanberger. Trump is a threat to our democracy. The threats to our Democratic Republic are real. Representative Annie Custer, Trump and his extreme right-wing followers pose an existential threat to our democracy. Becca Ballant, we can't underestimate the threat Trump poses to American democracy. Jason Crow, Trump is an extreme danger to our democracy. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. And this list has been published by the Trump Organization, and it doesn't even include the dangerous rhetoric against Trump spewed by deranged Democrats during the 2016 and 2020 elections, the impeachment hoaxes, and the so-called summer of love. So we've got a lot of this flying around out there. I'm sure there's going to be more, maybe not. But now, just to kind of bring you up to speed here and where the investigation against this guy, Ryan Ruth, is. Now the FBI has custody of the case, which means we're only going to hear what the FBI wants you to hear. Harold Hutchison, writing in the Daily Caller, says that MSNBC anchor Alex Witt, Alex, by the way, is a female, questioned whether Donald Trump should consider toning down his rhetoric. Now, this was on Sunday's, one of Sunday's programs on MSNBC. And there's a reason why I keep harping on MSNBC. Of all of the left-wing networks out there, they are the worst. They really are the worst. And when it comes to violent rhetoric leveled at at conservatives in general, they are the worst. And here again, being an advocate for the First Amendment, we have to combat this by calling them out. And this is pretty much what Harold Hutchison in the Daily Caller is doing. Now, you know the story about this weekend with Donald Trump. The thing that I'm scratching my head over is, how did this guy, Ryan Ruth, know that Donald Trump was going to be playing golf? Because that was not a scheduled session of golf, a round of golf. That was not scheduled. How did this guy know that Trump was going to be there? And supposedly Ruth had been in this little cubbyhole that he had made for himself up against the chain link fence for something like 12 hours. So he knew quite a while in advance that Trump was likely to be out there. Is there somebody on the inside of the Trump organization who's leaking? I mean, we have to look into this. And I'm not convinced that the FBI will, because the case is in FBI hands now, which means we're only going to know what the FBI wants us to know. So, anyhow, on this program with this Alex Witt, she had a political analyst, fresh-faced little, I mean, she looks like she's barely out of college. Her name is Elise Jordan, and they discussed whether Trump would urge his supporters to take the temperature down. Well, here again, if you watch MSNBC, it's not Donald Trump who needs to take the temperature down. It's MSNBC. But this is the way the left operates. They constantly point their fingers at us and accuse us of doing what they are constantly doing. Which is why I label them the bastards that they are. So anyhow, this gal, Elise Jordan, says, "Well, we've seen, Alex, just the cycle of political extremism at play, unfortunately, over the last, you know, really decade of American politics. Polling, the Lincoln Democracy Institute did a great poll on political extremism last year, and one of the findings was that over 50% of Americans no longer see the political opposition as trustworthy opponents. They see them as untrustworthy enemies." Now, she made this statement on Alex Witt's program just hours before law enforcement actually confirmed that Trump was the target of an assassination attempt. So, you know, this is, so anyhow, there was a little back and forth between these two ladies, but Jordan continues, she says, "How have we gotten to this point when the demonization of the other side, where we simply, it's no longer politics, it's gotten bigger than that, the calls for violence, the violent rhetoric, and look at what happens. And this heated rhetoric can only go so far before, unfortunately, it has led to violence on both sides of the aisle. And so I think it's something that Democrats and Republicans have to be very cognizant about." Well, I want to call bullshit on this, because it's not happening on both sides of the aisle. Name me one case of conservative violence against a leftist. Name me one case. You can't, because there are none. No such cases. All the violence and all the violent rhetoric is from the left aimed at the right. Everybody knows this. And you can go through social media posts. And the thing is, the moderators of these social media platforms allow the left to say what they want to say while all the time censoring us. And it's because of the censorship, you're never going to see. And I don't want to give the censorship all the credit here, but a lot of the censorship has eliminated what there may have been in the way of conservative violent rhetoric against the left. It's never allowed on these platforms. But certainly it's allowed on the part of the left. Because all of these moderators, all these social media platform owners like Zuckerberg are leftists. Thank God for Elon Musk and X, because finally there's some truth. But you know, when this gal, Elise Jordan, says, "How have we gotten to this point when the demonization of the other side, where we simply, it's no longer politics, it's gotten bigger than that?" Well, a lot of it has to do with social media. Everybody has a voice. Even the weirdest moronic whack jobs have a voice. But to assume that it's Donald Trump who needs to lower the temperature? When you had Joe Biden there in Philadelphia with that god-awful, almost a doomsday-ish set behind him with the dark blue and dark red lighting behind him, which of course was a nod to the Obama administration because those were the Obama colors. Remember the posters and stuff? So clearly, the left is getting away with this accusation because the left dominates our media. The only area of media where the conservatives dominate is AM radio. That's about it. We've got nearly nothing in the way of television other than Fox News, and they're not really full-blown conservative anymore since Lachlan Murdoch has taken over the network. And besides which, you have to pay extra to get Fox. Unless you go to YouTube, you can see Fox on a delayed basis. You have to pay extra to get Fox. CNN comes with your regular basic satellite dish or cable bill. Plus, CNN is on in all the airports. They still have that deal going. So, you know, if you're looking for fairness, it's not out there. And the only way you're going to combat that is to do what the Trump campaign just did, what I told you about in the first segment. You need to expose them every step of the way. You have to be in front of these bastards or they're going to run you over. And as far as my faith in this election coming up November 5th, I have no faith in it whatsoever. Because once again, it's going to be a fraudulent election. Why? Because of the mail-in ballots. A major political shakeup has actually rocked the European Union as one of its most prominent figures, a fellow by the name of Thierry Breton, has resigned under a cloud of controversy. Now, Breton is the UE's Commissioner for Internal Market and Services, and had been facing growing backlash after his attempts to censor that interview between Elon Musk and former President Trump. Now, Breton's downfall began after he issued a stern warning to Musk about amplifying hateful content on X. Remember, I told you about that at the time that it happened. And the whole time that I was telling you the story, I was sitting here in front of the microphone just shaking my head. And this guy Breton tried to apply pressure on Elon Musk just ahead of the interview. And the interview was broadcast live to a global audience. Now, this guy, Breton, Thierry Breton, he's a French politician and business executive, and he invoked the EU's strict rules under the Digital Services Act, known as the DSA, to pressure Musk into limiting speech, specifically targeting the upcoming interview with Trump. And the move was seen by, well, let's just say many, as a blatant attempt to suppress free speech, particularly in the United States, and sparked outrage on both sides of the Atlantic, to be honest with you. And Jim Jordan, bless his heart, love that guy out of Ohio. He's the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. Well, he later blasted the EU's efforts, accusing Breton of weaponizing European laws to stifle the voices of influential Americans like Musk. Now, in a scathing letter to this guy, Jordan warned that the U.S. Congress would investigate the brazen attempt to infringe upon free speech. According to letters reviewed by the New York Post, Jordan was unequivocal in his condemnation, saying that the EU had overstepped its bounds by trying to silence voices critical of its globalist agenda. Da-da-da-da-da-dun. I love this. So in the letter, he says, in light of your recent threats of reprisal toward X Corporation for facilitating political discourse in the U.S., we write to demand that you stop any attempt to intimidate individuals or entities engaged in political speech in the United States. Here, government bureaucrats may not intimidate, coerce, or threaten individuals engaged in free speech. So Breton then in turn wrote a public letter to Musk reminding him of X's obligation to follow EU laws due to its large user base within the bloc, saying, as, and I'm going to quote you here, as the individual entity ultimately controlling a platform with over 300 million users worldwide, which, you know, when you think about it, worldwide, 300 million users, that's a drop in the total bucket. He says, of which one third in the EU, you have the legal obligation to ensure X's compliance with EU law, and in particular, the DSA. Wow, what a brazen bastard he is. So the showdown between the EU and Musk, which had been building for months, Musk didn't give a damn. Musk is Elon Musk. And he's proving himself to be a champion of truth, justice, and, yes, the American way. Now, the European Union, under Breton's leadership, had already been critical of Musk's approach to content moderation on X, especially following his acquisition of the platform. So it wasn't only here in the States where there was backlash against Musk, but you notice how it's died down here. Now, the EU had been increasingly vocal about the need for platforms like X to comply with the Digital Services Act, which mandates strict regulation of content in an effort to curb what it calls hate speech and disinformation. I mean, so now the EU is behaving like a bunch of damn Nazis. But it was Breton's attempts to interfere with the Trump interview that ultimately led to his resignation, because that heavy-handed tactic just outright backfired. On Sunday, Breton submitted his resignation, citing questionable governance within the EU as the reason for his departure. And in his resignation letter, Breton expressed his frustration over being asked to step aside by European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, who reportedly requested that France nominate a new candidate for the commissioner role. Let's move on over to the comedy corner with Seth Lawrence.
I love playing hide and go seek with my kids. I figured out it's the safest way for me to abandon them. Just for a moment, you know? And I'm a stay-at-home dad with four kids. So we play a lot. And they love the game. Every time I need a moment to myself, I'll tell them, it's time to play hide and go seek. And they get all excited and they come running up to me and I say, okay, I go over the rules with them because rules are important. So I'll tell them, I'm going to count to 10. You guys go hide. And then I'll say, ready or not, here I come. Then I will find you. You got it? I will find you. And they're like, yeah, okay. And so I say, great, all right, here we go. I count to 10. They run off giggling to hide. I say, ready or not, here I come. And then I lock myself in the bathroom. Just for a moment, just to contemplate my life or play a game on my phone. And before I know it, they are clawing at the door. They're like, Dad, where are you? Are you in there? Are you pooping? Dad, what? So I open the door and I tell them, you cheated. We got to play again. You remember the rules, right? And they're like, yeah, we got it. So, okay, I count to 10. They run off giggling to hide. I say, ready or not, here I come. And then I get my car keys and I'm here now. So, that's fun, right? We're playing hide and go seek right now. Yeah, thank you. Oh, thank you. It's great. You're helping me play. They love this game. They've learned to hide with an iPad and snacks because they know it might be a while. It might be a minute. Hide and go seek is sort of a weird game, right? Because the fun part is losing the game. There's the anticipation and then being found, and that's the best. And life is kind of like that. It comes at you whether you're ready or not. Winning hide and go seek is sad. Right? Because that's when the cops are called, the Amber Alert goes out. And then a lot of people are playing hide and go seek. So it's not fun to win that game. Losing is fun. You want to be found. I like that. My kids love it. That's great. I've been married for 13 years. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, and I've been a stay-at-home dad for most of that time. I've learned in 13 years my wife saw my potential, and that's why she married me. She married me for who she thought I could become with her help. And she's working really hard. And I'm coming along, I think. Some days are better than others. But I think all women sort of look at men as group projects, right? The mom, your mom got you to a certain point, and they see you, and they're like, that's good. I can work with that. And I think my wife is getting me ready to hand me in to God at the end of all this. And I think she's going to hand me over and be like, well, you know what I had to work with. And I think even you will be impressed with what I've done here.
Get out there and make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.